Welcome. I'd like to welcome all of our members to Southwest Central Church of Christ, and all of our guests and anyone who are joining us today for this, again, another Facebook Live of our church service this morning. And I specifically want to give you a warm welcome. I am so grateful that you are here. And I would also like to acknowledge and just say Happy Mother's Day and to all of our moms out there watching. And I know that this can be a super complicated holiday. And so I believe when things are complicated, just to name the complications and the joys that are in it. So I'm just going to talk really briefly about that and name it. And maybe you can take a moment of silence wherever you find yourself on today here on Mother's Day. Again, Happy Mother's Day. To all of you who are in your homes surrounded by your kids and get to celebrate the joys of Mother's Day with family, I am grateful for that. For those of you who are alone and cannot be with your kids, please know that I am speaking into that. For those who've experienced pregnancy loss or cannot have children of their own, please know that I am holding that in my heart this morning. For all of those who have complicated relationships with their mother, either they have hurt you or you have hurt them, I am mindful of that right now. For all of you who have experienced the death or the loss of your mother, may their memories sit with you today. And for all of you who cannot get to your mothers or cannot see your mothers, or they are in places where you are not allowed to go in today because of the pandemic, please know that I am and we are mindful of that today. And above all, may we lean into God, who mothers us, who loves us, and who can hold us close in that. So again, wherever you find yourself today, Mother's Day, with joy or pain or sorrow or goodness, all of those are welcome, just like all of you are welcome today. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks, Chelsea. Good morning and good to see you all. I see so many people checking in right now, just as we're live streaming here on Facebook again. We're so glad that you're here. And just as we have done the last several weeks, we are going to light another candle. This is candle number 8 that we are lighting, just in continued remembrance of not only our absence from one another during these weeks, but more especially the presence of God among us, no matter where we find ourselves. So I'm going to light another candle, and Cora is going to come be my partner yet again in that. And then I'll come back up and read our psalm for the morning. Our psalm for the day comes from Psalm 31. This is the psalm if you have a roots age child, elementary age student. This is the psalm that's on the front page of that. O Lord, I have come to you for protection. Do not let me be disgraced. Save me, for you do what is right. Turn your ear to me. Rescue me quickly. Be my rock of protection, a fortress where I will always be safe. You are my rock and my fortress. For the honor of your name, lead me out of this danger. Pull me from the trap my enemies have set for me. For I find protection in you alone. I entrust my spirit into your hand. Rescue me, Lord, for you are a faithful God. My future is in your hands. Rescue me from the hands of my enemies, from those who pursue me. Let your favor shine on your servant, in your unfailing love, rescue me. Let's sing together about this rescuing God.
Good morning, church. We have two songs today, Speak, O Lord, and Oh, to Be Like Thee. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deep in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness, that the light of Christ may be seen today in our acts of love and our deeds of faith. Speak, O Lord, and fulfill in us all your purposes for your glory. Teach us, Lord, a full obedience, holy reverence, true humility. Test our thoughts and our attitudes in the radiance of your purity. Cause our faith to rise, cause our eyes to see your majestic love and authority. Words of power that can never fail, let their truth prevail over unbelief. Speak, O Lord, and renew our minds. Help us grasp the heights of your plans for us. Truths unchanged from the dawn of time that will echo down through eternity, and by grace we'll stand on your promises, and by faith we'll walk as you walk with us. Speak, O Lord, till your church is built and the earth is filled with your glory. Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, this is my constant longing and prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, full of compassion, loving, forgiving, tender and kind, helping the helpless, cheering the fainting, seeking the wandering sinner to find. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart. Oh, to be like thee, Lord, I am coming now to receive the anointing divine. All that I am and have I am bringing, Lord, from this moment all shall be thine. Oh, to be like thee, oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, pure as thou art. Come in thy sweetness, come in thy fullness, stamp thine own image deep on my heart.
All right. I already talked about the Leaves Bulletin right here that we send out to our young people. So you can continue to work on that as our service continues. I want to call your attention to, on the back page, there's a section called Listening. It says, listen to the song, Will You Come and Follow Me? I found this song just a couple of weeks ago when I was putting together these Leaves Bulletins, and I found it fascinating. Some of you may already be aware of the song. I'm going to try to post it right here, if I can do that and not knock over the phone. There it goes. When you get a chance, my young friends, this is a great song maybe that you can listen to with your family and with maybe your parents or guardians' permission since it's on YouTube. So check that out and let me know what you think of some of the lyrics. Maybe talk about them amongst your family. Any of you, obviously, can check that out and do the same. All right. Well, last week we ended with this in John 21. Jesus said to his disciples, come and have breakfast. Then Jesus took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. This week we start there and move here to the very last scene of John's gospel. After breakfast, Jesus and Peter go for a walk on the beach. Jesus does not mince his words. He says this, Peter, do you love me more than anything else? And again, Simon Peter, son of John, do you love me? And again, do you love me? Three times, same question. Three times, Peter's same answer, yes, I do. Three times, Jesus' same response back, feed my sheep. After the last of the three, Jesus clues Peter into his not-so-distant future, foreshadowing a death that will most likely be highly unpleasant. Then he tells Peter, follow me. Peter looks over his shoulder and notices that the beloved disciple character is not so subtly trailing behind. What about that guy? Peter asks. What about him? Jesus says back, you, Peter, you follow me. If you squint your eyes and tilt your head a bit to the side and spin around three times, you can almost detect the makings here of a church service. It's a sort of liturgy here at the end of John. There is the table and fellowship, the Lord's breakfast with fish and bread and people. There is a pointed question from the living Jesus. Do you really love me? Or do you just say that you do? And there is a call, a sending out. Follow me. Table, soul examination, commissioning. That trio right there is a fairly decent way to evaluate the communal worship life of a congregation, no matter if they meet in person or virtually. For the church at worship, table, soul examination, and commissioning make up a model of discipleship worth paying attention to. Last week we talked extensively about the table, so I won't say too much more about it right now, except to point out that the presence of the table remains as Peter and Jesus walk and talk. When they had finished eating, verse 15 says, the bread and the fish and the presence of Jesus ushers in the soul examination and commissioning. I don't know anyone who particularly enjoys soul examination, that hard look into the mirror that requires more honesty than maybe they're willing to give. No one relishes in seeing the reflections of deepening lines of weariness, or the age spots of apathy, or the weathered look of sin. My spiritual director, whom I've talked with you about before, every time I meet with him, he likes to ask me these extremely annoying questions like, "What is prayer like for you these days? Those decisions that you are making, are they based on fear or anger? Is it time to forgive that person? Is it time to forgive yourself?" Worst question of all is this: "How you really doing, Steve?" Peter's spiritual director is Jesus, which is a pretty great one to have if you're going to have one, if you ask me. Until Jesus confronts Peter, that is. Three times he asks, "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And Peter says, "Yes, yes, yes." You may have heard this section explained before, that the first two times Jesus says, "Do you love me?" The Greek word for love there is agapao, a word that is reserved for the utmost seriousness of self-giving, sacrificial, letting go kind of love. The very type of love Jesus himself exhibited, which we'll talk more extensively about next week. Peter twice responds to agapao with phileo, which is the word for the kind of love found in friendship. "Yes, Jesus, we are close friends." On the third question, Jesus switches to Peter's word for love. "Simon, son of John, are you my friend?" Peter is upset now, hurt by the stinging question. "Why is Jesus doing this to me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. You know that we are friends." You'll find all sorts of interpretations as to what's going on here. Like three questions from Jesus redeems Peter and his three denials that he made the night that Jesus was arrested. Or that Peter, because of his shame, answers Jesus with a so-called lesser quality of love, friendship versus self-giving. Those are not unimportant insights to explore. The spiritual director part of Jesus, though, wants to know of Peter, "Do you love me? Do you love me, Jesus, the one who stands with you here, the one who tasted death and yet lives? Do you love me more than anything else? How are you and I doing? How are we doing?" Jesus' aim is to heal Peter. Peter's healing from Jesus will come in the form of relationship. "Do you love me?" "Yes." Which makes me wonder if it's phileo, the centering love and friendship and community with Jesus specifically, that will propel and sustain agapao, the sacrificial, self-giving love we do in Jesus' name. I wonder if it's our time spent with Jesus, walking on the beach with him, sitting next to the window in the silence of the morning, drifting off to sleep in prayer, that upholds us and sends us out more than we will ever know. The church seems to be as good of a community as any to ask questions like these. "What is prayer like for you these days? Those decisions that you're making, are they based on fear or anger? Is it time to forgive? Is it time to forgive yourself? Do you love me?" Even if our individual answers vary from week to week, yes, no, maybe, I'm not sure anymore, absolutely, that's okay. As the body of Christ in worship, we spur one another in love to soul examination, to search our souls by our sermons and our songs and our intercessory prayers, by the word of our testimonies. Because at the end of the day and at the end of all days, it's the quality of the relationship we have with Jesus that makes all the difference in our lives. And, according to Jesus himself, in the lives of those around us. Because Jesus says, "Then feed my sheep." Faith's response, your love for Jesus, is never done in words alone. To love Jesus is to fashion your life in relation to Jesus' life. Do you love me? Yes. Then feed my sheep. Jesus gives Peter a fresh commissioning, a renewed calling to take care of the ones Jesus himself once did. It's as if Jesus thinks that redemption in Peter will find its true home as Peter encounters those sheep who are hungry and have lost their way. It's not an easy thing to do, fashioning our lives in relation to Jesus' life. And Jesus makes that abundantly clear to Peter. All sorts of obstacles will come your way, not least of which is that soul-sucking game of comparison. Jesus says, "Follow me anyway. Don't worry about the person standing next to you, what her calling is, what his task is, what their ministry is. Your call is to feed sheep. Your call is to follow me. You, Peter, you follow me." The body of Christ in worship feeds sheep, tends to the flock, takes care of the lambs, calls its members who do not have internet access, brings food to neighbors in bags and stuffs notes of encouragement inside of them, runs a couple of miles in the name of yet another young black man who was killed in racism, and then sits and listens. The church looks around and spots the hungry, which are not very hard to find, even those who have plenty of food on their tables. In creativity and hope and sacrifice, the church in a time of pandemic and beyond is afforded the opportunity to feed with the bread of life, the cup of salvation, and the fish of sustenance. Just don't be surprised if you find Jesus already there, feeding folks with some bread, breaking apart the grilled fish, just about to hand it to them. What we hear this morning is a call to discipleship, a call to follow Jesus. The end of John's gospel ends with a call to follow Jesus. It is true for Peter. It is also true for the church. The path of following Jesus is not always a certain one. There are no runway lights or owner's manuals. It's not completely clear half the time. And the how, what, when, and where questions cut across the road more than we'd prefer. If John's gospel can be a touch point for us, though, then for the church at worship, following Jesus simply means getting Jesus' ways and means inside of us. The Lord's table ushers us close. The mirrored question of, "Do you love me?" pokes and awakens our souls. The commissioning moves our hands and our feet. It turns out that we do not have to squint or turn our heads or turn around three times to find it. As the writer of Hebrews says, our work, our calling is this: to look to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. May it be so, and may it be so for you today. And together we say or type, Amen. We return to the table once again, of course, the bread and that cup that set before us, given by Christ. In it we see him, and in it we get to see each other. What a gift that is. John's version of the Lord's table, the kind that we are more familiar with without the fish, comes in John chapter 13. As we move to eating the bread and the cup and drinking from the cup, I invite you to turn to John chapter 13 in your Bibles or turn to it on your phone. Read it either silently or aloud, verses 1 to 17. This is the text that I will preach on specifically next week. But for now, as you read it, see how the table and soul examination and commissioning discipleship comes into play right here. See how they meet together in this place. You are welcome to read it now and then pray and then eat, and I will come back in about 3 to 5 minutes. Let's do that right now. As we do every week, after we share the bread and the cup with one another, that which has been given to us, we in turn also give. And so now we have our time of offering. So just a reminder that the website is available for you to give your offering, your tithe online. You can go there and do that today, later today, or sometime during the week. And as always, you can continue to mail in your offering via check or cash to our church office, and we'll take care of them that way. Thank you for your continued work and contributions to this congregation, the work that goes on here. Speaking of work, we've talked about in our newsletter for the last couple weeks an ongoing ministry for our neighborhood, specifically for families who live in this neighborhood and some of the apartments around us who may be food insecure. And we've had folks who've been not only purchasing food but also bagging the food and then safely bringing the food via a hand-drawn wagon across the street to give out this food. Several of you have jumped in on that, and what a gift that is. You can continue to do that if you wish. If you are interested in learning more about that, you can talk to myself or to Lori Tucker. We would love to connect you in some great ways. Maybe you also saw the Facebook post this week or in our newsletter. We are continuing to stuff those bags, as I mentioned during my sermon, stuff the bags with notes of encouragement, just notes of blessing. To say that we see you, we hear you, and we are for you during this time. A couple of you have reached out to me and said that you are already writing notes, or you're in the process of it, or you're going to bring me some this week. And what a gift that is. And this upcoming Wednesday, we'll have some folks who put those notes in the bags. But if you want to do that, just let me know, and we can get that taken care of. All right. Well, before the benediction, just great to be with you again today. I very much look forward to sitting in this room with you all again. We have no idea when that will happen. And just as I mentioned last week, we'll continue to be patient and move at the right time with wisdom and discernment in that regard. For our benediction today, the very end of the last couple of verses of John 21 is where we'll be. Being a person who loves reading and perusing bookshelves and walking through libraries, I absolutely love how John's gospel ends. It goes like this. This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that not even the whole world would have enough room for the books that would be written. I love that. So this week, my friends, may God's Spirit write within you other things that Jesus is currently doing. And may you, in love and hope and faith, go forth and feed sheep. Blessings on you all this week.